But you know, God loves it when we step out on adventure. You know that, don't you? Our faith is not a religion. It's not a set of rules that we have to keep. But it is a living, dynamic relationship that when we hear stuff, we step out and act on it. And when we step out and act on it, kind of blessings released and favors released, because God can't resist that. You know that God can't resist you anyway, Florence, because you're so gorgeous. You know, but God can't resist it, Chris, when you do something just because you think God has said it. When you do that, his heart melts. He's doing that. He trusts me that much. He's doing this, even though I want to bless that. I'm going to bless that step because he's stepping out just because he thinks I've said that to him. So when God speaks to us and we act on it, he gets really excited about that. And heaven's blessing flows in increasing measure to us. And you know, I just want to say that for us, we've seen that as a leadership this year already, which is incredible. And I'm going to be speaking on the blessed life in Slough here in June for 3 weeks. Unwrap some more of this. But met a guy called Robert Morris from your town, from Dallas, Texas. I won't try and do the accent. Y'all. I won't try and do the accent, no. And he's written this book, The Blessed Life. He's built a church from nothing to 24,000 people in 12 years. Around this kind of subject. Fantastic, man. We've met their guy, Tom Lane. He's been over here. Now we've been over there. And we're just building a little friendship. You know, and I started to read his book and I thought, this would be fantastic. You know, and we started to preach some of the stuff on it. But, you know, this year, guys, we've had three or four, in fact, of the biggest gifts we've ever had. One-off gifts. Just given to us as church. That's phenomenal. You know, I have been weeping. I have literally been weeping. One day, when someone phoned me up to say that we've got this check just been given to us as a church, I couldn't work. I got up from my desk and I just went wandering around the garden in tears, thinking, Lord Jesus, you're so good to us. You know, you've blessed us beyond measure. And Lord Jesus, our people are so fantastic. They're amazing that they're trusting us as leaders with this kind of money. Because it's not always the case. But we know we've had some very big gifts come in this year, which have more than compensated for the 20K deficit that we were planning on running. Those one-off gifts have more than covered that. And now the trustees are saying we could do some more adventuring. So, come on. You know, this is fantastic. No, we have been blessed. And, you know, I just want to thank God for that. And I want to thank God for you guys too here in Slough and for what you're doing here. You know, you're doing a good work and you're really helping us as a network, as a group of churches. We can do more together than we can do alone. Come on, this is good. All right, I'm going to do it. Can I move on to the next slide now? Oh, Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to follow this up now just with a little bit of teaching on this whole area of adventuring. And I'm going to read Joshua chapter 3. It's always good to read scripture. It's only 17 verses. So stay awake. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove. Sounds like a road in Slough. I'm sure there's an Acacia Grove somewhere in Slough. Acacia Avenue. And came to the Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want to just pause briefly there, because when I was just thinking about this, this was the verse that leapt out to me as a promise for you guys. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. sanctify yourself. That's a religious word, sanctify yourselves. Just means set yourselves apart. Don't just do the run-of-the-mill stuff that everyone else around you does, but be purposeful, be different, follow Jesus. Just set yourselves apart from this, from the ordinary everyday life stuff that goes on around us. Let's do something different. Let's be different for him, not just to be religious nuts, but let's be lovers and live lives that glorify him. It's to sanctify yourselves, and for tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. That's a promise for you. Okay, I want you just to nudge the person next to you and just say, tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders in your life. You know, come on. Oh, bless you, Ziru. We love you very much. Okay, so I'll come back to that in a minute, but I just wanted to stop there because I think that is a word. If you remember nothing else, if you remember nothing else about what I've said about our finances or about this adventure of faith, then remember that because this is personal. Hold on to it because this is a promise. I will do wonders among you tomorrow. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Itites and the Nervesites. And behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from the upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. That's a great story, isn't it? It's a story of God's people entering the promised land. It's a story of God's people beginning to enter in to the promises that he'd made over them. And I just want to draw out a couple of lessons that we can learn from that time, because actually we all want to enter in to the promises that's been spoken over us in Christ, don't we? Yeah? You know, well, there are lessons that we can learn from this, that we can take forward. Yeah, we live under grace, not under law, but actually there are lessons we can learn in faith, how to step into the promises of God. And the first one is, you know, to be the people that enter into the promised land, we have to be led by the Spirit or led by the presence of God. You know, Moses himself said that unless your presence goes with us, we're just like any other club. It's your presence that marks us out as being different. And as River Church, you know, that's something we hold really dear. It's the presence of God that's going to get us there. It's not our own efforts. It's not the fact that we're the biggest or the strongest or the cleverest or the wealthiest. Actually, It's the fact that God is with us. And if God has spoken it, you know, we can trust it's going to come about. And we're led by the Spirit, led by the presence of God. That's really fundamental. So that's why Joshua gets up and says, look, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you should set out from the place and go after it. When you see the presence of God, because the Ark of the Covenant was a sign of his presence, when you see the presence of God begin to move, that's when you go. You follow it. That's what the leaders told the people. They knew, they understood this. They weren't to go off, even though God had said it, they weren't to go off and just do it on their own, in their own strength. But wait, just wait until God moves. And when God moves, then step out. So we've got to recognize that amongst us, you know, and that's important in here, guys, because when you look around the room, do you see the presence of Jesus? That's a question. If you don't, we need to ask ourselves for an eye transplant. I need to, you know, there was a time when Elijah prayed for his servant Gehazi for an eye transplant, that God would open his eyes. Because so too often we look at the flesh, and the flesh is weak. We have to see with the eyes of the Spirit. And Gehazi, Elijah's servant, was fearful because they were surrounded by an army. And Elijah said, what are you worried about? Greater or more are those with us than those with the enemy. And he prayed for him that his eyes would be open. And all of a sudden his eyes were open. He saw all the angels camped around. Hosts upon hosts of angels camped around. And he said, wow, yeah, we outnumber them. And he said, yeah, do we recognize the presence of God amongst us here? Because when we do, actually, fear leaves. Fear leaves. God is here. He's with us and he's for us. And when that happens, you know, who could be against us? No one can stand against us. That's what the scripture tells us. So we're led by his Spirit. And then this next thing, the faith. Faith is really important. On the back of that, recognizing the presence of God, but trust, faith, the same thing really. They had great faith. And that verse I read out to you, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, they needed to have faith at that point because we just read that the Jordan was in flood. It wasn't in the dry season when the river might come down to its lowest ebb. It was actually in the harvest season when the river was at its highest ebb. So it was ridiculous, you know. Oh, we're going to cross over, are we? Okay, good. Good luck with that then. I don't see how you're going to get across. And in the flesh, there is no way. But with eyes of faith again, we see and actually we say, God, well, God said it. It's going to happen. God said we're going to enter this promised land. And he's told us to get ready. So something's going to happen. Don't know what exactly. Maybe he'll build a bridge. Maybe he'll dig a tunnel. Who knows? He's got something in mind. So, you know, we've got to hang on to that. So this morning, I really want us to lay hold of that promise. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders amongst us. If we live our lives in the sense of that wonder, then all things are possible. You know, we don't get terrified by the circumstances as they arise around us. We just know that actually God is actually with us. And we can go ahead confidently. So faith, we must walk in faith. And then, of course, listening. Because our faith is not just a faith in a concept. It's not just a faith in a clever idea or, a set of rules or a set of words that are written down. Even though Joshua had the tablets of the Ten Commandments at that point, his faith wasn't in the Ten Commandments. His faith was in a person. His faith was relational with his God. So he gets up early that day. It says in verse 1, you got really early. And I bet you as part of that was just to pray. He's dependent on God. And then God meets him and speaks to him in verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said to him, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the waters, just to stand in it. That blessed the priests. Didn't it? That blessed the priests. You know, okay, guys, we're going to cross the Jordan now. God's told me. I want you to carry that heavy Ark of the Covenant with its gold covered poles and gold covered chest and the stone tablets and everything in it. And I want you to march into the river. You can just see their faces. Nice plan. I just got these sandals. There's no shops here, in case you haven't noticed. If these get ruined, I've got nowhere where I'm replacing these sandals for who knows how long. This desert's quite a long way across, you know. This promised land, we've got to get into and set up shops. So they cross the desert. They've worn them for 40 years, actually, haven't they? So they've got to kept them miraculously. This is going to see them off. So anyway, Joshua, let's just do this then. So they carried the Ark of the Covenant into the river. And the river stops. It didn't stop before they got to the river. It didn't stop as they approached the river, as they could see it. It didn't stop when they got their first toes wet. It stopped as they stood in it. So often, you know, guys, when we're praying about stuff that we're facing, when we face difficulties, when we're looking God to do something miraculous in our lives, we don't want to get our feet wet. We sit there. Come on in, God. When's that river going to dry up so I can get over? When's that thing going to change so I can get over into the promised land? And the Holy Spirit's whispering to us, get up. Go forwards. Go forwards. Go forwards, go forwards. And actually, we're stopped. We're waiting for God to do something. And actually, he's speaking to us and saying, no, come on. Go and face that thing. Get involved. Go into it. And I'll sort it out as you go. That's just tough, isn't it? Should we have a vote? If we had a vote, okay, how should God do this? You know, do we want him to do it, you know, when we ask him? So we can see it, and then we can walk over. Or do we want to go and walk, stand in the river first? You know, come on, let's be real. Who wants the first? Yeah, we're all human, aren't we? We don't want to get our feet wet, for goodness sake. What happens if the river doesn't stop? I'm just going to look stupid, aren't I? I'm going to look stupid. But you see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God's speaking that over us all the time, to me personally and to us as a community of people. Come on, let's just trust that he's speaking to us and step out into the things that we face. Let's not wait for them to change anymore. Let's just advance into the promises of our God. Blessing, he will bless you, and multiplying, he will multiply you. That's his promise. That is his promise. So they listened and they got this great plan. And then they prophesied it. They didn't just have to do it. They actually went out and told each other. Come on, guys. Now this is what's going to happen. God is going to stop the river. But first of all, you've got to carry the ark into the covenant. That's a prophecy. Actually, you're speaking out what you felt God has spoken. That's why I got you to say to each other a minute ago, God is going to do wonders in your life. That's when you say that kind of thing, even if you said it half-heartedly or jokingly to your neighbor, it's prophetic. You know, you are kings and queens. You are the sons of God. You're the representatives of heaven here on earth. And whatever comes out of your mouth releases authority for God to act. So when we say those kind of things, actually we release the power of heaven into our lives, into the lives of those around us. So we should declare with boldness, God's going to do wonders in your life tomorrow, Florine. Come on. God's going to do wonders in your life tomorrow, Chris. When you speak that out, heaven says, right, that's going to happen then. God doesn't do anything. It says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord does nothing unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. He works in partnership with us. He's looking for men and women that are going to agree with him and speak it out, what he's going to do, and prophesy it, and then step out and get their feet wet. Come on, Slough. I'm preaching to myself, by the way, you know. I've got my L plates on too. But this excites me. This adventurous way of living. This excites me. That our faith is an adventure. So we speak it out and prophesy it. They prophesied it to the leaders. Go on, we're going to do this and God's going to do this. So if you think God has spoken to you about something, don't just wait for it to happen. Speak about it. don't just tell everybody, but tell those actually, you know, if you're nervous about it, because it's quite a delicate thing, tell those you trust. But speak it out. Prophesy it. Speak with faith about it. I've encouraged one of our missionaries to do that. She had a dream, and for years she hadn't told anybody. She had this dream that God was going to do something, and she never told anybody about it. And I was over there visiting her in China, and I chatted to her about it. I said, you've got to speak it out. Be bold. And since that day, she's been speaking about it, and God started to bring it to birth. She said, gifts come in to start to make it happen. People come in. So, you know, I'm not making this stuff up. This is what we learn from this story. Right, and then the last thing is, let's walk into the problem. Let's get our feet wet. They had to walk into the problem. They had to walk into the thing that was stopping them, the thing that was blocking them. You know, some of us are facing relational difficulties. There are people that we want to avoid. We don't want to get near to. Because actually, they represent too much trouble, too much hassle for us. And the word of the God for us this morning is actually, no, you're the head and not the tail. Walk into that. Don't avoid it. Walk in. Be loving. Be gracious. Be kind. I am with you. You can get through this. We will get through this together. Some are facing issues at work. And actually, the Lord says, don't be fearful about those issues you're facing at work. Be open. Be inclusive with those around you. Trust those that work for you and those who work for. And actually advance towards the problems. And I'm going to solve them for you. And people are going to recognize, just like he wanted Moses' name to be lifted up. I mean Joshua's name to be lifted up like Moses. Actually, he wants the same for you. He wants to give you a good name in your company so that he'll be honored. That's his will. But he needs you to be brave and to step out and stick your neck up. You know, so often the enemy says, if you stick your head up over the parapet, I'm going to shoot you down. Who's heard that? Oh, we mustn't do that. The spirit for warfare, you know, if you stick your head up, you know, you're going to get shot at. Come on, I wouldn't lead a church if I believed that. That's nonsense. The safest place to be is where God is calling you. And God is calling you to be the head and not the tail. God is calling you to be a blessing to your company. God is calling you to be a blessing to your friends and family. Stick your head up. Come on. God is with us. Let's walk into the problems that we face with boldness. You know, this stuff takes some getting from our heads to our hearts. It's the truth. It is the truth. I wish I could just download it into all of our hearts right now. And the Spirit is dropping stuff into our hearts, but it does take something to get it from our head to our hearts. That's why we run the Ignite course. You know, this training program we do every people give up a Monday a week to do it. It's because in that Monday a week, for a whole day, we live in an atmosphere of faith. We're encouraging one another with these stories. We're encouraging one another with the truth, with the teaching. We're encouraging one another with opportunities to go out and practice. And to live it. So that the culture of faith, the culture of facing the issues, the culture of prophesying into the issues and seeing them melt away becomes part of who we are. As we live in it week in, week out, we get changed. It's a transformational thing. But we can all do it. We can all do it. I had a great story this week, actually. Have I got time? Yeah, just a little bit. I had a great story from someone who did the Big Year or Ignite a couple of years ago. They now live in Bulgaria, and they regularly listen to our podcast, our teaching here from River, because it encourages them so much to adventure with Jesus. So she was listening to a podcast. She just had a baby, listening to a podcast, and walking down the road, and the person preaching was saying, yeah, you've got to step out in faith, and God, when you step out in faith, God will perform a miracle, and lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and all this. You know, you're anointed. You know, you're anointed by the Spirit of Jesus. And if God is with you, then come on, everything changes. When you walk into a room, God walks into a room. That's fantastic. And she was saying, amen, God, preach it, amen. And she was walking down the road with her headphones on, amen. And she thought, well, maybe I ought to do something rather just to say amen to all of this. You know, if I don't actually live it, that's not actually, we can all get excited about a good message, but it's when we actually get our feet wet is when we really discover if God is really with us or not. And just as she was saying this or thinking this, she sees a lady step out of her house on crutches with a very downcast face. And she thinks, oh. Maybe I ought to pray for this lady. Okay, so she goes up to her and starts to talk. It transpires she had a near fatal car accident. And since then, she's not been able to straighten her legs. So that's why she's on crutches. And her husband died in that car accident. She has a baby now, a baby shortly after. And the lady just said, look, I believe that God loves you and wants to make a difference in your life. Can I pray for you? And she said, yeah, I'm desperate. You know, please pray. So she prayed with her. And as she prayed with her, her legs started to straighten a little bit. And she got very encouraged. They were a bit straighter than they were before. She said, can I pray with you again? And the lady said, yeah, sure. She prayed with her again, and her legs straightened. And she was able to walk for the first time since the accident without the crutches. And then she says, look, do you want to know this God who loves you? Do you want to ask him into your life? She said, yes. And she led her to the Lord. Come on. The waters piled up. She got her feet wet and the waters piled up. And she walked into the promised land. And the thing is, guys, the same is true for every single man, woman, and child in this place. That's true for you. It's true for you. Only thing is, we just got to get our feet wet. God is looking to show himself strong. You know, we've just seen that again as leaders in this year for us. You know, we're seeing it with finance, we're seeing it in other ways. But, you know, come on. What's to hold us back? Only fear. Let's just laugh at that, shall we? Come on, it's just fear. That's the only thing that holds it back. Because if this stuff is true, and let's face it, we wouldn't be here if we didn't think it was true, then let's live it. Let's step out. So, you know, as I've been speaking, I just feel, you know, there are some who are facing a river that's blocking their path, something that's blocking the way ahead from what the blessing that you feel called to. And you've been praying about it, but maybe you didn't realize you had to get your feet wet and you have to walk into it. If that is you, if you are facing something that's blocking your way and you couldn't see a way through it, and today actually you feel that actually God is asking you to walk into it, then I'd like you to stand up and I want to pray with you. Because we're going to see breakthrough today. The Lord's going to speak to you about that. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. If you're near someone with you stood up, lay your hands on them. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Because I tell you something, guys, the promise that we just spoken out, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders in your life, wonders among you. That promise is specifically true for you. Sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Because in this season, God is doing wonders among you, in you, around you. And Costas, you know, you're on an exciting journey. I know that. But God is with you. He's opening up the way. You are going to get to places you never dreamt you could get to because there was too big a river in the way. The obstacles were too big. You never even thought about getting to the other side of that river because actually you just didn't think it was a possibility. Today, God is dropping new dreams into your heart because your old dreams were not big enough, Costas. New dreams are coming. There's a bigger promised land for you than you've had in the past. A bigger promised land. And the Lord says, open your heart up to receive a bigger promise from me. A bigger promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. That's the promise of God over you, Costas, over your family, over the people that you lead. And I, you know, you've stepped up to the Slough team in recent months, and you need to know that anointing rests on you to release blessing over people's lives, Costas. And the Lord is going to show you that as you step out and prophesy blessing, as you step out and declare blessing, as you step out and declare multiplication, you're going to see it happen. People are going to be in tears. You're going to be in tears as you see it happen. And others are going to be overwhelmed with joy. But that anointing rests on you. I see it on you like a cloak, like a mantle that you're wearing to release the blessing of God. So be bold in declaring it, Costas, because God is with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and for you, Tay, I just want to release that again over you. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. And sanctify yourself, Tay. You know, sanctify yourself from this generation. Live a different life because I'm leading you to places. I want your name to be lifted up. As I lifted up Moses' name, as I showed myself a God of power and a God of strength and a God of deliverance and a God of salvation to Moses, through Moses, I want to show myself that way through you. Set yourself apart. Sanctify yourself. I want other young men and women to know that I am with them, and through your life, through the testimony that is your life, that is going to be declared over them, Tay. It's going to be declared over them. Many hundreds of young men and women, it's going to be declared over them that God is with you. I've seen God working in this man's life. I receive it for myself. Thank you. You're a testimony, Taylor. You're a testimony. Oh, Lord Jesus. Barbara, you're a wonder. You're a wonder. Your life is a wonder. And the enemy would tell you otherwise, but you're to ignore that. The enemy is trying to drag you down, to get you to focus on the things that will drag you down, the problems and the issues. Laugh at them, Barbara. Laugh at them. Laugh at them. Because God is with you. He's coming in his strength to save you and to save your family. He's coming in the power of his might. Oh, Lord Jesus. And there's breakthroughs coming in these days. There's breakthroughs coming for you. There's breakthroughs coming for you. And the hallmark of your ministry is to be joy, Barbara. It's to be laughter. And when the enemy gets you fearful, and when he gets you down, and when he gets you worried and fretful, the anointing falls off. It's like the anointing's in the laughter for you. It's in the joy that you carry. That's the yoke. That will break the yoke of the enemy over the things that you're worried about. You know, so when you go out to face your enemies, when you step into the water, you're to sing songs of God's goodness. You're to laugh about and remember the good things that God has done in the past. Okay? Because that's the strength for you. God is your strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength, it says. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And Anna, I just know that God is opening your ears to hear him. He's opening your ears to hear him in clearer ways than you've heard him in the past, in these days. And this great adventure that's coming on you as you hear the voice of the Lord and respond to what you think he's saying. Don't wait until you're definitely sure, Anna, because that you'll have to wait a long time. Even the apostles said that it seems good to us in the Holy Spirit. Okay, but step out on what you think that God is saying to you, because that's the avenue of blessing for you. I see that. And I see that growing and growing and growing and getting deeper and stronger the more you practice. Come on. And blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you, because you're a multiplier. You're a multiplier. You're a multiplier. When people give you stuff, it multiplies in your hands. And when you give stuff away, it's multiplied in their hands. Okay? Come on. Be part of that. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, come on. Lord, we love you so much. Pray for your spirit to fill us all this morning, that we all might know that you're the God who blesses and multiplies, and that you don't treat us as we deserve. You're not waiting for us to reach some perfect standard. Jesus is our standard. We're covered by the blood. You know, God, we're sanctified by his blood and set apart by his blood. Lord Jesus, thank you. Help us to walk in to that grace, to grow in the knowledge of that grace, that we may walk into the things that block our paths and see your kingdom come, that we might walk into the promised land, that we might walk into that place and walk upon this earth as your ambassadors, bringing heaven to earth. seeing healing come, seeing finance release, seeing freedom come, seeing wounded hearts made whole. Lord Jesus, help us all here this morning. To know in our hearts that tomorrow you'll do wonders amongst us. And to live in the expectation of wonder. Jesus' name. Amen.